Sandy Allen did not know their Uncle Bob very well. As a child, Sandy was told that Bob was crazy, that he had spent time in mental hospitals while growing up in Berkeley in the 60s and 70s, but Bob had lived a hermetic life in a remote part of California for longer than Sandy had been alive. And what little Sandy knew of him came from rare family reunions or odd, infrequent phone calls. Then, in 2009, Bob mailed Sandy his autobiography, typewritten in all caps, a stream of error-riddled sentences, more than 60 single-space pages. The often incomprehensible manuscript proclaimed to be a true story about being labeled a psychotic, paranoid schizophrenic, and arrived with a plea to help him get his story out to the world. A Kind of Miraculous Paradise shows how Sandy translated Bob's autobiography, creating a gripping coming-of-age story while sticking faithfully to the facts as he shared them. It is a great pleasure to welcome Sandy Allen back to the roundtable. Sandy, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
So you were with us a year ago. The hardcover came out in 2018. This week, the paperback is out. So give us a sense of what this year has been like since this book has been out in the world and you have been meeting with people and talking about schizophrenia.
I've had this incredible opportunity over and over and over with, you know, rooms of perfect strangers often to be talking openly about a topic that I think so often is just relegated to whispers and to, you know, clinical settings and really trying to open up this conversation around severe mental illness and specifically schizophrenia. And it's just been, I'm here in Iowa City where I did the paperback launch, and I had, I can't even count how many people came up to me after and said, I have this diagnosis, or my loved one has this diagnosis. I had professionals who were there to tell me about the work they're doing. And that mix, you know, having people who have received a diagnosis like schizophrenia, having people who have close family who've received a diagnosis like that, having people who do that work, it's so exciting to me that I can be bringing groups of people like that together, because too often I think the really big problem with mental health is the way that conversations become siloed and people who only already agree with each other are only listening to each other. And I'm really astounded that this book that my Uncle Bob, you know, set into motion and I'm just sort of finishing it for him, like that it is actually doing this incredible thing and bringing this, you know, coalition audience together.
Do you think in some way, and this is probably impossible to tell, but do you think in some way when he sent you that package and said that it was pleading with you to help him get his story out to the world, that that's exactly what he wanted to happen?
Yeah, 1,000%. And there are people in my extended family who were close with Bob in life. He was a hermit, but he spent a lot of time on the phone with certain relatives particularly. And, you know, those people who knew him well have through the years said to me in many ways, you know, oh, we knew, Bob knew you were going to do this. And, you know, Bob was very confident that you were going to get his story out there. And whenever, you know, I oh my gosh, I got a publisher. Oh my gosh, the book is out. You know, I think there's an extent to which some people go, yeah, you know, he sensed that this was how it was going to go, which I find incredible because, you know, I didn't have faith in myself for so many years that I was writing it. You know, I never thought, oh, the world is going to listen to this story that my uncle, who was diagnosed with schizophrenia, wrote on his typewriter in his little house in the desert where he called himself a hermit. You know, it just seemed improbable that anyone would bother to listen. And what's happened is the exact opposite. And I do think Bob was someone who really believed that his story needed to be in the world, that it was important that people hear this. And, you know, he was right. There's so many things that, you know, I had wrong and he had right. And this, you know, whole process for me is one of often kind of encountering, you know, my preconceptions and realizing the ways in which I had underestimated, you know, the project I was working on.
When you think about the project itself and trying to work your way through it, I assume you look at it and you say, okay, well, what is right here and what is wrong? And how is what is written impacted by the illness and vice versa? These, I assume questions come up all the time as you're working your way through it.
Yeah, I mean, at one point in my, you know, the way I wrote this book was sort of funny. It's got two elements. It's written in two fonts. So the real bulk of it is his story, in my telling of his story. So I've taken his manuscript that he mailed me, and I've sort of spun it into this other form that hopefully, you know, more people will listen, because it's a story that is very engaging. And then in a second font, I'm kind of telling the story about the story. I'm telling about receiving his manuscript and about trying to understand some of the questions that arise as we listen to this tale, you know, questions to do with the status of that diagnosis, schizophrenia, questions to do with, you know, the American mental health care system in the 70s when he's describing it, and now, questions to do with the way that other people in the family remembered all of this stuff and the other people he knew. And there was this other big, big question of accuracy. You know, I'm a nonfiction writer. This is a nonfiction book. And I was really aware of the fact that I didn't want people assuming that Bob's story was a bunch of lies, you know, or something he had fabricated. I was really interested in telling a story that, this is the word he had used as well, was true. And so at a certain point, fairly far into the process, I worked on it for about 8 years. It was probably about 6 or 7 years into it. I fact-checked Uncle Bob's story. I really, you know, used my reporter skills and tried as hard as I could to figure out, okay, here are his claims. Here's what I'm able to verify. And as I describe in the book, I at one point made a timeline across my wall trying to assess, you know, here's Bob's story that he typed on his typewriter in his little desert home, and then here's everything I'm able to verify from, you know, documents and events of the world and so on. And what I really saw was, wow, this is really watertight. He really had a very organized account of his entire life that he'd managed to put together. And I think it's yet another example of something where I had perhaps underestimated him. This book is about schizophrenia, but I think it's really about the prejudice that a lot of us have, knowingly or not, toward people with a diagnosis like schizophrenia, or toward people, you know, who we associate with a word like crazy or insane or, you know, mentally ill. And so that the fact that his story did actually really add up when I spliced and diced it apart, you know, it surprised me. And I think it affirmed the fact that, you know, we can't let the way that, you know, he wrote in all capital letters, and he was very inventive with his spellings, and he used colons, and the pages themselves smelled like cigarettes. And these are all examples of things that I think, you know, turned me off and made me think, oh, this, you know, this is a really disorganized, haphazard mess. And, you know, 6-7 years into spending a lot of time with this manuscript, I realized, wow, it's even more, you know, it's so painstaking, the effort that he put into this. And I think part of it is he really wanted people to believe him. He was so frustrated with a lifelong misperception that others would have. If they heard a word like schizophrenic, they would assume he wasn't trustworthy. And that irritated him to no end, because I think he was an honest person.
When you received the package, and I'm curious as to how many times you ask yourself this question, but do you know why you? Out of everyone in the family, as you say, people that had a closer relation, of why you?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, you know, I've thought about it. And I get asked it a lot. And, you know, I can guess. I think one answer is Bob wanted a writer's help. And I was a writer. I was starting a graduate degree in nonfiction writing here at the University of Iowa. I was also, I think, you know, Bob probably noticed, even though we hadn't spent very much time with each other, especially since I'd become an adult, but even when I was a little kid, we had some stuff in common. We're both creative types. For example, he was a musician, I was a singer, and I think, you know, creative types, artists, we recognize each other. And I also think Bob probably knew that I was curious about him, because I was. I had wondered, even as a little kid, I had asked my mom, you know, what's going on with Bob? Why does he take pills? You know, and she said, oh, he's crazy. And I wanted to know what that meant. And I had gone to see him once as an adult at his house in the desert. But I, you know, I beyond beyond that, you know, I really didn't give him much thought. And I think it's clear to me in hindsight that he had very intentionally picked me out and sent me the original of his manuscript. And later, I actually found out that he had sent copies of that manuscript to other people in the family who'd presumably thrown them out. And so I think that he knew I was perhaps his best mark, you know, in terms of trying to rope someone in to help him get this story out into the world, because I think he knew he couldn't do it himself.
When you investigate a family, you know, it's like dominoes. And I think anybody who's done this knows this, but I am curious as to what else you find out about the family in the process of doing something like this.
Well, I can't tell you all that.
But you know what I mean? I mean, yeah. In the overall, yeah. I don't mean specifics, but in the sense of what other avenues it brings you down.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, especially when I was in the phase of interviewing everybody in the family, really as much as they'd let me, you know, asking them, how did you remember this? How did you remember this? You know, and trying to understand people's point of view. Because the way that Bob remembered stuff is not the way that his dad remembered it, or his stepmom, or his mom, or, you know, his friends. Everyone had a very different account of all this stuff. And so there was an extent to which I was aware that I had always, you know, assumed some things about him and about the others in the family. And I got to really see, honestly, how painful this was, especially for my grandparents, you know, those who were in the position of caretaking for him. I really had to get up close with how difficult this had been for parents, you know, who were trying to do the very best they could by a child who, you know, was in the psychiatric system starting as a teenager, and someone who, as he entered adulthood, you know, did troubling and concerning things, and I think was the cause for a lot of grief in the family. And so I had to get really up close with some deeply difficult stuff, and I think stuff that for some people they would have rather not sit around and unpack, you know, decades-old painful things. But the other fascinating part has been watching even members of my family advance their own understanding of this greater situation about schizophrenia vis-a-vis this book. You know, I think that this book has been a gift even for those people who knew Bob very well. It's helped them see him in a greater context. As my grandma, his mom, wrote me a year ago when she'd first read it, she said, "The info was terrific." And it brought me such joy that I was able to give her terrific info. You know, here this woman had this son for decades and decades and decades, you know, and it also made me sad that that wasn't information that she had gotten earlier on. And so it's very much complicated my sense of a lot of the people in my own family, but I've also tried very hard to separate, you know, the people in the book from the people in real life, because they are separate. And I had to make a lot of really careful choices about what went inside those two covers and what didn't, because, you know, ultimately these are real people.
In the impact that it has on you, you write a lot about mental health now. So I assume that's something you wouldn't have done prior to 2009. So has that changed a focus for you, of sent you down a path that you had never expected to go down?
Absolutely. I mean, this book has changed my life, my career, in so many ways. And yeah, one of them is, before, I mean, I was a graduate student, so I was younger. I was in a different phase of my career in general, but I definitely didn't have a beat. You know, I definitely didn't have a thing that I was writing about, at least that I knew about. You know, I in fact, I always sort of felt like a writer in search of the thing that I was supposed to be writing about. I knew people who had really, you know, clearly defined areas of interest, and I never really felt like that. I was like, I write about anything, you know. But yeah, through the process of finishing this book, one of the things that I did was I really tried to understand, okay, what's going on with this diagnosis, schizophrenia? What's going on with this American mental health care system in the 70s and today? And I really tried to expand my understanding of where Bob's story in this book enters the greater world. And what ended up happening was I learned just way too much. You know, I was never going to be able to fit everything that I learned and found interesting in this one book. And so as I finished the book, I realized, well, I'm just continuing to work in this area because there are so many stories I'm eager to tell now that I think continue from the starting place of A Kind of Miraculous Paradise. Really thinking about what happens if we start to think about mental health more in terms of civil rights and less stuck in this valence of science and medicine. What happens if we open ourselves up and listen to those who have been in the position of receiving a diagnosis like schizophrenia, like my Uncle Bob? What do they have to say for themselves, especially now, you know, in 2019? What is the status of this conversation? And what happens if you turn up the volume on those voices that are typically excluded from the mainstream conversation? And so as a reporter, as a writer, as an artist, I'm just so invested in continuing to apply myself where I think I might be of use. And I think that my point of view on this topic, these topics, is a little bit different because I didn't get educated, for example, in a medical school. I got educated by Uncle Bob. You know, he was really my starting place.
The name of the book is A Kind of Miraculous Paradise, a true story about schizophrenia. The book is published by Scribner. Sandy Allen, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.